This is Optimal Finance Daily, episode 2181. Five Simple Ways to Crush Emotional Spending for Good, Part 2, by Chelsea Brennan of SmartMoneyMamas.com. And I'm your host and personal finance enthusiast, Diana Merriam. Today's post is actually a continuation from yesterday. So if you're new here, it'd be best to listen to yesterday's episode first. But if you're all caught up, let's hear Part 2 and continue optimizing your life. Five Simple Ways to Crush Emotional Spending for Good, Part 2, by Chelsea Brennan of SmartMoneyMamas.com. Number 3, Reroute Your Emotional Triggers. So now that you know all the reasons you're spending emotionally, or at least a good list to start with, now we have to find a way to reroute those behaviors. After talking to hundreds and hundreds of mamas, what I've found is that rerouting emotional spending is really about understanding the value of self-care. As complex as our emotions are, we tend to do our worst when we're worn down and exhausted. First, it's critical then to have a baseline of regular self-care. How do you make sure you're eating healthy, getting enough sleep, and giving yourself time to enjoy something you love? Create a plan to make more time for yourself in your daily schedule. Start small. Creating new habits is hard, but the change will be worth it. Second, make a list of things you can do for yourself when you hit that low point and are really feeling the pull to spend. Go outside and take a walk. Journal. Reach out to a friend. Have a 2-minute dance party to your favorite song. Keep a list of your quick grounding exercises somewhere you'll easily see it on a regular basis, so you're cued to try those things before heading to Amazon. Because ultimately, material things aren't going to make you feel more valued or less stressed. If you're tired, Starbucks is not the answer. Sorry. Getting to bed earlier, though, that could actually help. Try to find a way to match the emotion with the underlying need. Tricks to reroute emotional spending. While awareness is your number one resource for curbing emotional spending, there are a few hacks you can use to make it harder to spend money impulsively. For one, never allow a website, especially Amazon, to save your credit card information. Just making yourself go the extra step of entering the card number could be enough to make you recognize your emotional spending. Another trick is to unsubscribe from sales emails. If you aren't seeing the emails roll into your inbox every day, you're going to be less tempted to buy. For your debit or credit card, try to keep a sticky note on your card so that every time you pull it out, it's one more reminder that you're spending and one more chance to reconsider your decision. Bonus points, write "How are you feeling?" or another check-in question on the sticky note. Lastly, try implementing the 24-hour rule. For any purchase, be it $10 or $300, make it a rule to wait for 24 hours. Is it still just as important? Are you even thinking about it anymore? Did the sale really go away? Chances are, if the expense was unnecessary or driven by emotion, you'll have forgotten about it by the next day. Number 4, create a realistic plan for your emotional and impulse spending. Even if you've put steps 1-3 into place and are getting really consistent with using those strategies, you're going to have times when emotional or impulsive spending gets the better of you. So make space in your budget for that. You have a bad day and grab a cute top at Target because it's a small joy. You want to take the kids for ice cream because it's a beautiful day, but your family activity budget is tapped. Lean on a small life happens category in your budget. Perfection isn't the goal here. Instead, simply be more aware of when emotional spending is taking over and pay attention to staying within your life happens budget category. That way, your spending won't derail your important goals. And number 5, keep your goals and values front and center. This one is really critical. Earlier, we discussed that emotional and impulsive spending is often driven by stress and exhaustion. But there are two other big emotions that are frequently at play: guilt and jealousy. Those emotions don't have anything to do with true lack in our own lives. Instead, they come from our relationships with other people, with money, and our feeling of worthiness. Other people's priorities and actions distract us from our own. Your neighbor gets a new car and you start looking at your car differently. Not to mention the daily triggers, like the end rack of adorable Joanna Gaines home decor at Target, which makes us think of all the expectations around how our home should look. Often our surroundings are trying to distract us from our end goal, so you need to create an environment that reminds you what is uniquely important to you and your family. Use the Family Money Values template to dig in and discover what your family is committed to when it comes to spending your money. Post your goals on the fridge or make your money mantra the background on your phone. Create a vision board for the life you're building. Do anything you can to focus on what matters most to you. All of this is practice. We're looking for progress, not perfection. Remember that your feelings may seem overwhelming and inconvenient in the moment, but when we slow down and pay attention, we're likely to find that they're providing signposts for what our bodies and souls really need. Getting to the heart of the matter. As you go through these exercises and implement these strategies, you're likely to find something surprising. You don't have a spending problem. You have a human problem, a self-care problem. Aligning your spending with your values isn't about struggling against overspending forever. It's about finding awareness, making the time to take care of yourself, and creating a vision for your future that excites you enough to say no to short-term pleasures. You just listened to part two of the post titled, 5 Simple Ways to Crush Emotional Spending for Good by Chelsea Brennan of SmartMoneyMamas.com. Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, the bad news. Mint is shutting down. And now, the good news. There's a better alternative. Our sponsor, Monarch Money. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Maybe you're saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation, your kids' college. I've found that Monarch makes it easy to help you reach your financial goals, whatever they are. I definitely wouldn't be able to allocate my finances or plan as clearly without help from Monarch. In fact, Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. That's monarchmoney.com/OFD for your extended 30-day free trial. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear, upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. This article hit home for me because I know all too well the challenges of navigating finances when my mental health isn't good. In its oppressive state, I'm pretty desperate to self-soothe, and I have trouble finding the energy for many of my money-saving habits. I notice that I'll order takeout more because I can't find the energy to cook. I spend more money on convenience, and I waste my dollars on things like alcohol and junk food, which tend to just exasperate the problem. I've found that the bigger factor in improving my finances is simply paying attention, but I definitely struggle to find the energy to pay attention when I'm not in a healthy place mentally. Mental health is a tricky issue. There's no one solution that's going to work for all of us. If you're like me, you've probably been battling your mental health for a long time, and it's likely you've noticed patterns. I hazard to guess that there are times when it's pretty bad and other times when it's relatively good. So here's what I do. During the good times, I prep for the bad times. I set up all my bills and investments on autopay so I don't have to worry about overlooking something. I do my in-depth analysis of my spending and work on my budget while I'm clear-headed. I get my savings rate up as high as possible because I know it's going to drop when I'm in a depressive state. And I spend money on preventative measures like therapy, massage, and educating myself on the various tools and approaches to improving my mental health. I've come to realize that dips in my mental health are inevitable. but I've found comfort in knowing that I've set up my finances so I can more easily navigate them. And that's another episode of Optimal Finance Daily in the books. Thank you for your support and for listening every day. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll catch you tomorrow where your optimal life awaits.